Good evening and welcome back to our service tonight. We're so excited to hear more testimonies from baptism. What a wonderful morning we already had. Celebrate communion and hearing the testimonies. Before that begins, let's start with music. Let's stand together as we sing. Let's sing.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Thank you.
trust my Savior Jesus. Let my darkest doubts be far. I trust Him when to simply trust Him seems the hardest thing of all. I will trust my Savior Jesus. Trust Him when my strength is small. For
standing for prayer.
Let's pray together. Our Father, that is the cry of our hearts. How could we keep but trust You when You have given us in Christ all things? If You have given us Christ, will you not freely also with him give us all things? Lord Jesus, how could we not trust you? Because you have laid down your life for us. You loved us and gave yourself up for us. Spirit, how could we not love you and trust you? Because you have remained with us from the day of our salvation, brought us to life, and have increasingly pled on our behalf, interceded on our behalf, and have changed us gradually into the image of our Lord. Lord, we thank you, our great God, for the work of redemption, and we do trust you. Help us to trust you more. Thank you for the joy and privilege of gathering again tonight to worship you in song and even to worship you in one of the ways that you prescribed, and that is in the ordinance of baptism. And Father, I pray that you would receive the glory you deserve for the work that you have done in each life, each person who will share their testimony tonight. Lord, we devote this time, this service to you, that you would be pleased, that you would be exalted, that your Son, the Lord Jesus, would be lifted up. And Lord, that we would all who know and love him be encouraged, strengthened, reminded to follow him with all of our hearts. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we welcome you back tonight. As I mentioned this morning, we have the unique privilege today to enjoy a number of testimonies from those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. Joshua and I were talking beforehand. There's something really rich in hearing people from in different backgrounds, different ages, different generations, all changed by the work of God. And so we are looking forward to that experience again tonight as well. As I did this morning, I just want to begin by setting the context for baptism. I want to read to you a few verses from Acts chapter 2. You'll remember that it was after our Lord's ascension, a couple of weeks after the ascension, that he met with the disciples, and not just the 11, but 500 in Galilee, and there he gave them what we call the Great Commission. And he told them that they were to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then they were to teach them to observe all that he had commanded. It was not even a full 40 days after that Pentecost occurred. And at Pentecost, you remember Peter gets up, one of the annual feasts of the Jews that came 50 days after the Passover, after unleavened bread, and in that context, the Lord saved a mighty group through Peter's preaching. You remember on the day of Pentecost, his message is recorded, or at least portions of it, in Acts 2. And as a result, we read, this is the response of the people. Now when they heard this is Acts 2:37. Now when they heard Peter's sermon, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? I reminded those who were being baptized this morning that this is what happens to every person who truly comes to Christ. At some point, the Holy Spirit pierces your heart with your own sin, with your own guilt. And you understand what you deserve, as they did that day. Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus the Messiah for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, that is, for the Jewish people who had gathered for Pentecost. And then he adds this, and for all who are far off. That's Gentiles, that's many of us. As many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So he preached the gospel you're going to hear in 10 different ways tonight from different stories. He preached that gospel to them, and it says, so then, those who had received his word were baptized. In other words, forgiveness doesn't come from baptism. Baptism follows forgiveness. those who received his word, who believed and repented of their sins, they were then baptized. And it says, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. What I love about that is less than 40 days after our Lord commanded his disciples of what was going to happen and what they should do, it happened. They made disciples. They baptized them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then in the context of the church, they added them to the church. They taught them all that they needed to know and to obey. What I want to encourage you with tonight is that what we do here is what Jesus our Lord commanded. And it's what happened on the very first day there was a church, the day of Pentecost. It happened at the first church in Jerusalem. And read the book of Acts, and it unfolds everywhere there's a church. And here we are 2,000 years later on the other side of the planet doing the same thing. Why? Because Jesus commanded it. His apostles then obediently set that model from the very beginning. So what we do tonight is in keeping with not only what our Lord commanded, but what the church has done for 2,000 years, beginning with the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost. You pray for these who will share their testimonies tonight, that God would give them courage and grace to share their stories with you, and that he would use them in all our lives.
Hello, my name is Katie Puckett, and this is my testimony. I grew up Catholic and even attended Catholic school for a while, but we didn't attend church regularly and usually only made it to Mass for holidays. I knew of God and even prayed on occasion, but didn't have a personal relationship with him. In my mid-20s, my husband and I started attending church on a regular basis with our two little boys. I thought going to church, reading my Bible, and volunteering in the nursery were good enough. But I was just going through the motions, listening to the world, and always searching for the next thing to make me happy. It wasn't until a few years later, when I was in danger of losing my marriage and trying to navigate an extremely strained relationship with my oldest son, that I knew I couldn't do this on my own. I felt lost, was depressed, and angry at my circumstances. I knew I needed God to intervene. One night, a friend from church stopped by and asked if she could pray with me. She didn't know all of the struggles I was going through, but God did. Through that prayer, I felt my heart softening, the anger melting away, and surrendering myself to God. Ezekiel 36:26. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a new heart of flesh. From that point on, I had a whole new relationship with God. I was filled with a joy I never knew was possible. I no longer ran to him only when life got tough. He was now a part of my daily life. I came to understand my own sinfulness, and that I needed to repent, and through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, I would be forgiven. Even though life wasn't perfect, I knew he would be right there helping me through whatever came my way. Not only did he restore my marriage, but in time helped heal my relationship with my oldest son. Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. That was many years ago now, and God never ceases to amaze me. He is my Father, friend, and the one I turn to first. I seek his will, not mine. He is my Savior, and through him I have the promise of forgiveness and eternal life. He never lets me down. Hebrews 13:18. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Although I accepted and submitted to Jesus many years ago, and understand my need for him, I have not been baptized as an adult. I am here now to publicly confess my faith, declare I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and to be baptized.
Katie, thank you for your testimony. Because you have repented of your sins and because you have put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello. My name is Greg Schlackman. I'd like to first and foremost say how grateful I am to God for leading me to such a faithful congregation for me to worship Him with, as well as such a faithful shepherd. Before our Lord saved me, the way I lived my life was a complete lie because I feared truth. And when I think back on all the decisions I made from being a kid to becoming an adult, I'm reminded of the person I was that was not mentally or spiritually enforced enough to call myself a true believer. I was baptized publicly when I was 9 in the Church of Christ that I was raised in by my grandparents, and for at least 6 years after baptism that I can remember, my life was serving in the church. But at age 15, I started to succumb to social pressures and took a pretty hard moral fall that resulted in many years of self-deception. I never stopped attending church or renounced Christ, but my life was characterized by an unending pattern of sin that I slowly but surely started to view as uncontrollable and shameful by the time I was about 35. And that's when I truly believe that was around the time that God transferred me into His kingdom. Everyone has their own portion of God's word that eventually changes their life and sends them down the proverbial rabbit hole of spiritual growth. For me, it was Matthew 7. With our Lord teaching thousands about the narrow gate, and that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And although I'd read it before over the years, it all of a sudden terrified the daylights out of me. From what I now know of God's word, that was His invisible attributes from Romans 1:20 at work in me, the Holy Spirit. For those that haven't experienced it, it is a very irresistible call, and it's as if you found out you're about to die, but was handed a get-out-of-jail-free card for death. There's only one word to describe my life now versus what it was all through my teens and 20s, thinking I was a Christian, and that word is transformed. Resentment of sin to the point of being given the power to put it to death, loving those who act hateful toward me, praying for many others instead of just myself, feeding on the word incessantly and utilizing as many opportunities for fellowship and to study as possible. These were not my life. And since such a costly price was paid for my life and freedom from sin in such a selfless act, I owe my life to Christ. So I think it's only right to sum it all up with what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And He died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. And that's why I'm getting baptized today, to declare that Jesus the Christ is Lord and the only Savior.
Well, Greg, thank you for sharing your story with us. We are so grateful that you came to acknowledge your sin, that the Lord brought you there, but also that He brought you to see the Savior, not just your sin, but the one who could save you from it, because your trust is completely in Him, because you've repented of your sins, and you put your trust in Christ and His finished work as your only hope of heaven. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Evelyn Roan, and this is my testimony. I grew up in an amazing Christian home with believing family members who always pointed me towards Christ, but the first time I really remember hearing the gospel was when I was 5. My Sunday school teacher read us Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in salvation, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. I prayed to ask Jesus into my heart to save me that day, but I was too young to really understand what repenting from my sins was. But I hung on to that false confession, believing that I was saved, while I was ignoring the obvious sin in my life. As I got older, I came to think of church as a time for friends and fun and not for studying scripture and learning about God. As 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, equipped for every good work. I took pride in knowing all the correct answers for Sunday school and having all of my verses memorized for Awana, but I didn't understand why I was memorizing them. When I was in 8th grade, the Lord caused me to really see my sin. After a bad day of letting anger get to me, I was mad at my family and shut myself in my room. While crying, I decided to turn music on to calm myself, and after a few songs, Amazing Grace came on. I heard the song many times from church and from my parents, but for the first time, I really listened and understood the lyrics. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I finally understood how full of sin my life was, and I realized that there was no way I could get into heaven myself. As Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, and there is no name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. I went from crying tears of anger to tears of joy because I was so amazed that God would send his perfect son, who was perfectly righteous, and would love someone as lost as I was. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I then repented of my sins and immediately apologized for my family for how I had treated them. Since my salvation, everything in my life has changed. I now want to go to church to learn and apply God's word to my life. I obey with a happy heart instead of obeying for selfish reasons, and I strive to honor God in everything I do. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And when life is hard or things go wrong, I turn to the Lord instead of the world. Psalm 62:6, he only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, I shall not be shaken. I know that I'm far from perfect, but I want to live my life as a testimony to Christ. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's why I'm here tonight, to be baptized.
Well, Evelyn, thank you for sharing your testimony with us, because your trust is in the one that the Father made sin for us, and because he's changed you and you now are the righteousness of God in him. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Joshua Hilliard. Before salvation, my life was full of discontentment and selfishness. I only cared about myself. If I didn't get my way, I'd be angry and blame those around me. I thought I was saved because I attended church, memorized Bible verses, and had Christian parents. However, as I matured and learned more, I realized this wasn't true. Because my parents are believers, and because of the consistent teaching from my family and church community, I came to understand that God is a perfect creator. And as it says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I also came to understand that God sent his son down to earth to live a perfect life so that he could be a sacrifice for our sins, and that on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead and is now in heaven. As I started to have a better understanding of God's word, I realized how often I was getting in trouble for being in a bad mood. Psalm 16:11 says, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. It was then I understood that I was unable to find joy because I was looking for it in the wrong place. I wasn't looking to God, I was looking to the world. I began to realize that I did not have a true relationship with God and that I was, as Ephesians 2:1 says, dead in my trespasses and sins. It was after my mom questioned me as to whether or not I thought I was saved that I truly came to Christ and with her help, prayed to God for forgiveness and repented of my sins. Since I have come to Christ, I have found peace and joy. I now understand what it means to be a Christian, and I truly love Jesus for dying on my behalf to pardon my sin. I do not seek to argue with my brothers, and I have found a deeper respect for my parents. I can find joy by looking only to the Lord and not to the world. I cultivate my walk with God by spending time reading His Word and memorizing it, engaging myself in devotions and going to sword drills. I know I cannot be perfect, but by reading His Word and meditating on it, I can grow closer to Him and learn to obey Him. As it says in Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So, as an act of obedience, I am here to be baptized.
Well, Joshua, thank you for sharing with us. It's obvious that you have come through the work of the Spirit and the Word to understand your sin, because you know that you can't save yourself, because your trust is in Jesus and His finished work, because you who once were dead in your trespasses and sins have been made alive. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Amelia Shu. I grew up in a Christian church and was taught by my parents to love and obey God's word. Before I was saved, I was full of sin. I was like the son that stayed in the parable of the prodigal son. On the outside, what everyone saw was a kind person who stayed and appeared to love God. But when it came down to it, I was full of anger, jealousy, and hatred. Maybe I appeared like the one who stayed, the one who was a believer, but on the inside, I was just as lost and dead. I honored God on the outside, but on the inside, did my own things and thought my own sinful thoughts. My life was characterized by sin, and church was boring, a chore to be done, and uninteresting. For me, church was more time with friends, and I simply did not care about God or the Bible. I don't really remember when I was saved. I had grown up all my life in a biblical church, and for as long as I can remember, I was taught the truth. I was taught that in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and I was also taught that John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." I knew that there was a Savior and that He had died for me. I knew the truth in my mind, but those truths hadn't made their way to my heart. I was, as Ephesians 2 says, dead in my trespasses and sin. For a long time, I thought I was a Christian, but looking back at those moments, now I realize that it was just an act I put on to make myself feel better. I never made any attempt to become more like Christ. I still love the world, just as 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." I had never made any effort to put to death what it was earthly in me, as Colossians 3:5 puts it. I had yet to realize that truth, the only way to God, was through Jesus Christ. John 14:6 says, "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" I was like the scribes and the Pharisees described in Matthew 23:27, outwardly beautiful, but inwardly full of uncleanliness. I may not remember the moment I was saved, but I remember the moment I realized I was saved. My junior year of high school had been very hard for me. It was one big trial. But when things died down, I realized just how much I loved the Lord, and I wanted to glorify Him. I realized then that I believed those truths that were taught to me, that I was a sinner and that Jesus was sent to save me. Romans 3:23. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I realized that I wanted, and for a while had a desire, to have everything in my life to show His glory and be in His name. Since then, I have found the beauty in everything, the good, the bad, and the in-between. Church has become more interesting, and God's word has become more important in my life. Since becoming a Christian, I have found a new desire to study the word. I have come to know the love of our Lord, as He has sent His Son to save us, and as 1 John 3:1 says, "He has loved me enough to call me His child." I now love going to church, and I yearn to listen and obey God's word. John 8:31-32 says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" I have a newfound desire to listen to what I am taught, and to make everything I learn and see what the Bible says about it, and see if it is biblically sound. I try to praise Him in everything I say and do, and I spend time daily reading and studying God's word and praising Him, and going to church every Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. I go to His word for wisdom, and I always try to point myself and those around me back to Him. I know
I now know truths like Romans 8:39, nor heights nor depths nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. As it says in Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. So I'm here tonight to be baptized.
Amelia, we are grateful that the Lord brought you to see your hypocrisy, to see that you weren't truly His. You used the image of the Pharisees. They were terribly lost, and because you came to understand that, and because you came to put your trust in the only Savior, because all of those truths that you grew up hearing and knowing have now become your own, because you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Owen Dees, and I am here to share my testimony tonight. I grew up in a Christian household, going to Countryside since birth. Being in a Christian family, I always knew the gospel and heard it every week. Although I had extensive knowledge of the Bible, I never turned from my sin. I lived in and loved my sin and never felt remorse for it except for when I got caught and was told to apologize. Whenever I apologized, it was never genuine and didn't mean any of it. While in sin and not regretful at all for it, I considered myself a Christian purely because my parents were Christians. I only enjoyed church for my friends and the games I played. I would doodle during the lessons and not pay attention. I lived this way all through elementary school, but thankfully God was working in my heart. When I entered middle school, God really allowed me to understand things I hadn't understood before. I was also put with amazing small group leaders and gleaned much knowledge from them. In the summer between my 6th and 7th grade years in middle school, God saved me from my sin and gave me a new heart. Ephesians 2, 1-2 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." Ephesians 2, 4-5 then says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." It happened at a communion service on Sunday morning. Pastor Tom was explaining what communion meant and signified, and it finally all clicked that time. I prayed for God's mercy on me, and praise God, he saved me. After I was saved, I put serving God as a top priority in my life. Reading my Bible is now a joy instead of a chore to check off before I can play video games. Bible study is also a way to store verses in my heart so I can have tools in times of temptation. My favorite verse is 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation is overtaking us, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." I serve in the CBC nursery and in many other places and serving opportunities. I now strive to be an example of a Christian for my siblings, neighbors, and anyone that I come in contact with. I'm obviously not perfect, but now I feel instant remorse and guilt for my sin and seek forgiveness from God and whoever I sinned against. I try to follow all of God's laws to the best of my ability, which is why I'm here to be baptized tonight.
Well, Owen, we are so grateful for the Lord's work in your life, grateful that he brought you to the end of yourself, that he pierced your heart, as we read earlier from Acts 2. And because he didn't just pierce your heart with your guilt, but he brought you to understand in a new and fresh way the power of the gospel. Because of the pictures in the Lord's table, all of those things that are pictured, Christ dying as our substitute, you have now believed and embraced. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Emily Gathright. I was raised in a Christian home, so I was exposed to scripture and church teachings. I had the head knowledge and could give the Sunday school answers. I believed in God and the stories in the Bible, but it was clear there was something lacking. My life was marked with sin and unrepentance, whether it was arguing or lying, and I could give a million excuses to justify what I was doing wrong. I was angry inside, and I was mad at my parents for trying to tell me what to do, rebelling against authority. I had no sense of regret and for how I talked to and treated them. I don't remember exactly when I was saved, but I remember a series of messages Justin gave in middle school when something clicked in my heart. James 2:19, "You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder." This verse stuck with me. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death." It was not enough that I believed God existed. I had to repent as well. Mark 1:15b, "Repent and believe in the gospel." I was a sinful human rebelling against a holy God, lacking a genuine love and fear for my Maker. It was not enough to just know that God sent his Son to die on the cross, but that Christ was the substitute that stands in our place so that those who truly repent can be seen as righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." I had to completely turn away from my sins and pursue righteousness, and that was not something I could do on my own. I needed the help of the Holy Spirit. There was no fruit in my life until that point, and it could be clearly seen that I did not have a fear or love of God, and therefore was not in right standing with him, condemning me to eternal separation from my Creator. Hebrews 9:27, "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment." Since I came to Christ, my heart has been softened, and I have been able to see growth in my attitude and respect for my parents. They were placed in my life by God to guide and shepherd me, and my submission to them was required. When I sin, I feel remorse for the things that I have done. The Holy Spirit continues to work in my heart, growing me to walk closer to Christ. There was a period of time near the end of high school and beginning of college that was very difficult for me, as I was struggling with depression and difficult friendships. I was spiraling into my own self-pity before snapping back through the Holy Spirit's conviction. This situation was a reminder to me that I am still going to sin because I'm not perfect, but I must still obey and love God in hard times and continually look to Christ for my strength. I continued to grow in my walk with God by reading the Word and by spending time with the Lord in prayer, confessing my sins on a daily basis. I rely on Christ for my strength since he is my refuge. The Holy Spirit still convicts me every day as I am not perfect. I still have a long way to go and will never reach perfection while on this earth, but I still strive to be more like Christ every day. Philippians 3:12 says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus." I am a follower of Jesus Christ and have repented and put my faith in him, so I am here today to be baptized.
Well, Emily, because God has changed your heart, because he changed you from a heart of rebellion to a heart of submission to him, because you are a follower of Jesus Christ, as you just said, you have repented of your sins and put your faith in him. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Ben Gathright, and this is a story of how God changed my life for the ultimate glory of himself. Like many others, I was raised in a Christian household with parents who knew and feared the Lord. They taught the Word to me, prayed for me, and if I needed discipline, they would administer it. My main motivation for obeying was to avoid punishment. As a kid who has always grown up in this church, I knew all the right answers, but nothing in me was changed. My heart was still stone cold, and I put on a face for all my friends to see. I didn't care about the lessons that the pastor gave. I viewed it as a necessary thing I had to do and endure in order to hang out with my friends or play human pinball. On Wednesday night in middle school, I strolled in a youth group ready to play with my friends and eat snacks. During the lesson is when it hit me like a train. Justin taught about the importance of living your life to honor God and the reality of an eternal home, either heaven or hell. This is the moment it became real for me. I sat quietly in the back of the car on my drive home. My entire life up to this moment, I've never thought about it seriously. That night, my mom walked to my room, talked to me, and that's when I asked her how I can be saved. Ephesians 2:1-2 says, "And you were dead in your offenses and sins, in which you have previously walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." 1 Peter 1:16 says, "Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." God requires perfect obedience, a feat we cannot do by ourselves. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." God sent his Son to suffer and die on a cross to pay the price for our sins. Then 3 days later, he rose from the dead, defeating death. Finally, we need to place our faith in him. I support this claim with the youth group's favorite verse, Mark 1:15b, which reads, "Repent and believe in the gospel. This is the night I truly repent of my sins and put my faith in Jesus Christ. My life after this event has changed dramatically. I have a newfound desire to attend church and to listen to the solid teaching that we often take for granted. I obey my parents because I want to obey God and show them honor and respect, not out of fear of punishment. I strive to get along with my siblings to be a peacemaker among friends. I use my knowledge of the faith to admonish and encourage friends and to witness to the lost. All these changes are because of the work that Christ has done in me. I read my Bible and pray daily in my morning Bible study. I also take steps to deepen my knowledge of the Lord by working through Partners Discipleship Program. Because of this work that Christ has done in my life and my obedience to him, I come tonight to be baptized."
Well, Ben, because you have repented of your sins, because you've obeyed the command of our Lord that you quoted in Mark 1, repent and believe the gospel, because that is your heart. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Genesis Ruth. Before my salvation was before I was adopted. I went to church but never understood what anyone was talking about. I knew people talked about God, but I didn't know why he was such a big deal. John 3:18 states, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." I watched my foster mom get baptized and wonder why she was crying. I thought, why is she getting dumped in water? I just wanted to go to church because of my friends in the youth group, or being the spotlight when I sung on the stage, wearing my pretty dresses, or even getting McDonald's ice cream after church. I live my life loving sin, loving to lie, and tricking my siblings. No one ever truly told me who God was, or I never really cared. The only thing I cared about was me, myself, and I. John 3:19 states, "Light has come into the world, but people love the darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil." But when I was adopted at 6 years old, my parents started taking it slow, talking to me about the stories in the Bible, taking me to the village church in Denton. I started understanding bit by bit, but didn't understand fully. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. I knew the Bible stories, but didn't know for sure if the Bible or God was real. As I grew older, my parents started talking to me about the deeper things, how God sent his son to die on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins, how he rose again and he was taken up to heaven. 1 Samuel 2:2 states, "There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God." When we moved, we also moved churches, and that led us coming to Countryside. When we moved to Countryside, it became a whole different view for me. It was the day Pastor Tom was talking about the believer's test, to test yourself with the Ten Commandments. It made me feel guilty of my sin because the majority of the ten I had disobeyed, and that made me feel angry at myself for being the person that I was. But then I realized all of that was because of Christ. All that guilt of my sin was because I love Christ. I knew that I loved Christ because I hated sin and I wanted to be just like Christ. Do not participate in the evil deeds of darkness, but even expose them. Ephesians 5:11. My life has changed since I came to Christ. Now I have a reason to do the right things, such as obeying my parents, doing things with a peaceful heart, and to never lie. Since I became a Christian, I want to do the right things for Christ, not man. Now I cultivate my walk with God by praying every morning and night, praising God for everything he has made, catechism, and watching Christian documentaries and movies. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So this is why I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Genesis, I love your name because it reminds us that in God's economy, there are always new beginnings. And because he has changed your heart,
because he's taken out, as we've heard already several times this evening, your heart of stone and given you a heart of flesh because you have repented of your sins and because you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Brock McKee, and this is my testimony. My life before Christ saved me was defined by wickedness and disobedience. Despite growing up in a Christian home and being led by faithful Christian parents who ensured that I sat under sound biblical teaching, I loved my sin more than anything else. I lived just as Romans 8:7 says, "The mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so." I was dead in my sin, unwilling to turn from my love of self to submit my life to God. Even though I was clearly taught and knew the truth, selfishness and rebellion continued to define my life. Day after day, I refused to submit myself to God. I kept attending church and loosely maintained my external facades, but in my heart, I wanted nothing to do with God, especially if it meant giving up my sinful lifestyle. As Ephesians 4:18 says, "I was one who was darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart." This pattern continued throughout adolescence. I viewed submission to God as something I would get to later. I discounted the severity of my rebellion towards God and always thought there would be a time in my life that I would just buckle down and get serious about my spiritual walk. This was clearly a misguided and an ignorant view, as 1 Thessalonians 5:2 says, "For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night." It wasn't until I was a freshman in college, living independently from my parents, that the Lord interceded in my life and convicted me of my sin. I was sitting alone in my room with no friends or family nearby. I had isolated myself from all godly influences, and at that moment, I felt more alone than I ever had before. I knew I wasn't just alone here on earth, but that I was alienated from my Creator. I fell on my knees before God, crying out to Him for repentance like I never had before. The truth of 1 John 1:9 was made clear to me, and I understood for the first time what true repentance meant. It wasn't being sorry that I got caught in my sin or feeling bad about the consequences that resulted. No, this true repentance was an admission that I was guilty of every sin I had ever committed, along with a genuine desire to turn from those sins and hate them just as our Lord does. The Lord also made it clear to me that my previous claims of repentance were false, and I had no hope of salvation outside of Christ. As Jesus says in John 14:6, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me." I understood that the only way I could have peace with God was to fully submit my life to Him and turn from my wickedness. Since coming to Christ, my life has been radically changed. My thoughts, attitudes, and actions are centered around glorifying God and obeying Him. While I do still sin, my life is no longer characterized by it, just as Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I now seek ways to serve Him and share the work He's done in my life with those around me. As Colossians 3:12 says, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Each of these qualities were absent in my life prior to my salvation, but God's gracious love saved me and gave me a desire to pursue the fruits of true believers. As I've been attending Countryside as an adult with my wife, the truth of God's word has become something I long for and crave. Like 1 Peter 2:2 says, "Believers should be like newborn babies who long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." While at Countryside over the past several years, I've been convicted by the fact that I have not obeyed the Lord's command to be baptized since my true conversion. I understand the importance of baptism and the urgency of sharing what the Lord has done in my life. By taking this step, I am acknowledging that Christ is the ultimate authority in my life, no longer to sin, dominate, and prevail. Because of Him, I strive to lead my family as the Lord commands. I seek to love my wife as Christ loves His church and to lead my daughter in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The Holy Spirit encourages me to live out Philippians 2:3, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." Christ has given me a love for my fellow believers, and I now seek to serve others at church and in my daily life. I seek His will for my life through reading His word and searching my heart for ways I can continue to grow in righteousness. As Colossians 1:10 says, "So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." As an act of worship, I'm here tonight to proclaim the amazing, miraculous work God has done in my life and to give him all the glory, and that is why I'm here to be baptized this evening.
Well, Brock, it's such an encouragement to hear your story, to hear how the Lord has worked in your life, brought you to really personally embrace the truths that you grew up hearing. In the words of Paul, because you have confessed Jesus as Lord, and because you have believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that he's all that he claimed, and you put your confidence in his work and his finished work alone, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's amazing, isn't it? Amazing to see the work of God in the human heart. If you're here tonight and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then I know that, like me, your own heart has been encouraged and even strengthened by these testimonies. You've been reminded, as I'm always reminded, that the stories are all different. The backgrounds are different. Not everybody matches our story, but when it comes to God's work in our lives, the story's the same. God finds us in our sin. He reduces us to beggars, and we throw ourselves on his mercy, and in his grace, he saves us. I hope you'll be encouraged, strengthened. Pray for these who've shared their testimonies. You see them around. Let them know that you'll be praying. Maybe there are one or two of them that their story really resonated with you, perhaps because it's similar to your own, or maybe you know them. Know their family. Just let them know you'll be praying for them in the days ahead. And let me also say, if you're here tonight and you've not trusted in Jesus Christ, you've heard the gospel about 11 different ways, and you've sung of it in the songs that were at the beginning of the service. You know the truth. The question is, how are you going to respond? You see, salvation is not a group decision. It's a personal salvation. It means humbling yourself. It means repenting of your sin, putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And it's my prayer that before this night is over, if you're not in Christ, you'll find a place alone where you can do just that. Cry out to the Lord as a beggar, like the man in Jesus' parable, beating his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And Jesus said, that man went down to his house justified. That's my prayer for you even tonight. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are so grateful for your grace. Lord, all of these are stories of grace. Every one of them starts with your eternal love when you set your love upon them and when you sent your Son into the world. And then, Father, when you call them to yourself through the gospel, when you saved them, forgave their sins, Lord, it's a story of grace. So many of us here tonight know that story very, very well, very personally, because you have saved us. You have forgiven our sins. Lord, we praise you and exalt you that you are the only Savior. There is no other. Thank you that you brought us to trust in you, to see that Jesus truly is the way, the truth, and the life, that there is no way to you but through him. Lord, we rejoice in that, and we rejoice in these who shared their testimonies tonight. And Lord, we pray for each of them. We pray for Katie and Greg, for Evelyn, for Joshua, for Amelia, for Owen, for Emily, for Ben, for Genesis, and for Brock. Lord, thank you for your work in each of their hearts, that you have given them truly a new heart. And I pray now that you would continue the work you've begun in them to your glory. Lord, I pray for us as a church that you would help us to be an encouragement to them and to help strengthen them in their walk and in their faith, in their pursuit of you. May we encourage them both in the fellowship, in the worship, in the study of your word. Lord, in all of the resources that are here, use them for their good and they're building up. I pray that for all of us. And Lord, I pray also for those who may be here tonight, who perhaps have come as a guest, perhaps are a part of our church, maybe
children who have come with their parents, youth who are here because their parents insisted, or maybe adults who don't truly know you. Father, I pray that you would do what you did on that first day of the church at Pentecost, that you would pierce their hearts with the truth they have heard tonight. Like an arrow, it would settle in their souls, and that nothing they can do will get rid of the constant barb that that reality is, that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. And Father, bring them through the gospel to know you. May they repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things for his glory. Amen.
Let's stand together and we'll close our time. That's the end of our service. We've ended a little earlier than Awana tonight, and so enjoy some extra fellowship time, and if you have kids, if you could wait till 7:30 to get them, the workers would appreciate that. You are dismissed.